We're going to finish up our series this morning, Upward and Outward, the simplicity of the Christian life. And it comes from our theme. Next week, we're going to combine next week. When you come next week, it's going to be a little bit of a unique service. We're going to have the Spanish in here and our Spanish ministry. We have about 100 adults that come most Sunday mornings through our Spanish ministry. And Brother Sammy preaches over there. But I've made it clear since I came, and I've made it clear to Brother Sammy, and he believes this, and I've made it clear to them. We don't have two churches here. We have one church with multiple ministries. It's not the English ministry and the youth ministry and the Spanish ministry and the teen ministry. And we're all one church with multiple ministries. And so we're going to bring them in, and I think you'll enjoy it. If you've never heard preaching like this, I've preached many times with an interpreter in different countries. But next Sunday morning, I'll be preaching the first week of our new series, Upward, Developing a Deeper Love for God. And we're going to give you some practical ways over the next 6 or 7 or 8 weeks from Scripture. How can you grow deeper in your relationship with God? The Bible says the first command is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. What does that look like? How do you actually do that? Just by saying, I love God with everything. What does that look like in our lives? What are some ways that we can do that? And we'll begin that next Sunday morning. And Brother Sammy will be in here interpreting for me. And he'll be interpreting from the platform while I preach. And something unique that we've not done since I've been here. But I think it'll be enjoyable. And then I'm really looking forward to preaching. And maybe just as much, I'm looking forward to eating. After church, we'll head out to the courtyard. Spanish ministry will provide a delicious meal, $5 per person. And we'll have, I don't know if they're doing tacos or what they're doing out there. But we'll have a great time together next Sunday. But today we finish this series. And really it's been an introductory series with our church theme that comes from Matthew 22, the two commands, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love God and love others. And we've been looking at upward and outward. Love God, love others throughout Scripture. This morning, I want to talk to us about something that I believe that all of us desire and strive after. If you could sum up what we are looking for in the human experience in one word, what word would that be? Think about that. You don't have to say it out loud, but think about it. If we could describe what is it that everybody is striving after, if we could sum it up in one word, maybe some words that would come to mind, and I'm not talking just about Christian, I'm talking about us as a human. There is a desire in our hearts for something specifically. I would suggest that one of the words that maybe you would come up with as you look at what's inherent in us that we strive after is the word success. We want to be successful, don't we? From the earliest stages, whatever you do, I have a 5-year-old boy. He hates to lose. He wants to win. In fact, he hates to lose so much, he'll lose his temper sometimes if a brother or sister beat him, or he'll start crying or get mad or throw something, and we deal with that. That's something else that we have to deal with, but if he's going to play basketball on the trampoline in the backyard with his 12-year-old brother, he wants to win. It doesn't matter that he's 5 and his brother's 12, he wants to win. And he said to me yesterday, I got home, and he said, Dad, I got an idea. Let's go play basketball in the front in the driveway. He's got this little Tykes hoop, and we're out there, and he's working hard like crazy. He's got his mouthpiece in. I don't know, he thinks he needs a mouthpiece, He's wearing his mouthpiece out there, and we're playing in the driveway, and I'm going, and I'll say, you're being lazy on D, and whenever he's lazy, I'll try to make it. If he's working hard, I might let him get a steal here or there, and I'm trying to teach him to be a hard worker and all of that, and to give everything he's got, and we're going out there, and both times, not always, but both times yesterday, I did beat him. You say, you're a mean dad. That's all right. He needs to learn how to lose, but if he wins everything right now, he's not going to think he has to work harder, and so I beat him twice yesterday. He hates it. Why? He wants to be successful. You might use the word, maybe the word that you would have used that we all strive after is fulfillment. I think that's kind of synonymous. We want to feel fulfilled. We want our lives to seem successful. Now, everybody defines success differently. We want, maybe the word might be, we want to have a life of purpose. Again, all of those I think are somewhat synonymous. What we all strive for in this human experience is success or fulfillment or purpose in our lives. Success, one dictionary defines success as the accomplishment of an aim or purpose. It also describes it as the attainment of popularity or profit. Wouldn't you say that really that's what most all of the world is striving after? The accomplishment of an aim or purpose? Nobody wants to be a failure. We want to live fulfilling, successful lives. That is why the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, written by Rick Warren, a pastor over in Lake Forest, has sold more than 30 million copies. Why would a book sell 30 million copies? Because people are looking for a life that is filled with purpose. People are looking for a life that has fulfillment. People are looking for a life that is successful. And many of the things that we define as success that we strive after, we find out, we get there. And somebody said, you know, you climb the corporate ladder, you climb the ladder only to find out it was leaning against the wrong wall. By the time you get to the top, you look and say, man, I achieved success in the world's eyes, but I'm still not fulfilled. And so a book like that will sell 30 million copies. Why? Because we are striving after, we're trying to find fulfillment. We're trying to find success. We're searching for that in our lives. And so often we find the wrong success and we find ourselves like Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, completely empty and unfulfilled. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon, the wisest king and one of the richest men in the world at the time, he did everything. The Bible says, he said, I withheld not anything from my heart. Anything that the world would say was success, I had it. Whether it was stuff, whether it was servants, whether it was accomplishments, whether it was the type of food, whether it was, if he had a favorite song, he didn't buy the song off of iTunes. He literally flew the group in to play for him. You read it, it says, I had orchestras that came and played for me. I had it all, my houses, my lands. And he said, I got to the end and said, it's all vanity. It's all vexation of spirit. I succeeded, tried everything that the world says is success, and I got to the end, and it was all vanity. That means emptiness. He said, not only was there nothing good, but then it was also vexation of spirit. It's not just that I didn't find anything good. It actually messed me up. It messed my life up, and we find ourselves sometimes in the same place. So this morning, as we finish the seventh and final message in this series we've been in since the first week of January, or I guess maybe second week of January, I want to preach to you this morning, upward and outward, finding true success. Upward and outward, finding true success. Did you know that the word success is only found one time in the King James Bible? We're going to spend our time this morning in that passage where it is found. And if you don't have a Bible with you, there should be one in the pew rack behind you or the pew rack in front of you. Feel free to grab one of those and turn with me this morning to the Old Testament, the sixth book of the Bible, Joshua chapter number 1. We've been, for most of the other 6 weeks, we've been in the Gospels and we've been in the book of Acts. We've been in the New Testament because that's really where this teaching of upward and outward from Christ, it's where it was based upon. It's where our theme comes from. And so that's where we've been spending most of our time in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. But we're going to head to the Old Testament today. We're going to see upward and outward, finding true success in our lives here in Joshua chapter number 1. In Joshua 1, to understand really the end of Deuteronomy, it flows seamlessly into Joshua 1. So the book right before it, that book ends, but the story, the narrative, the history, it goes right into it. And so the last verse of Deuteronomy, this doesn't happen with every book, but it happens here. The last book of verse of Deuteronomy goes directly into the first verse of Joshua chapter number 1. We come to Joshua 1. Moses, the famous, wonderful deliverer of Israel, Moses has died at the end of Deuteronomy, and this is a good reminder that God's work goes on even after we're done. None of us are indispensable. God gives us a window of time to serve Him. We need to use it. And when we're gone, if I die today, this church is going to have church next Sunday. So I have a window that I need to give God my very best, because the work, God's work goes on with or without us. It's a good reminder that our time is short, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. But we see Moses, one of the most mightily used men of God, he dies off the scene, and God's work continues to march on. In Joshua 1, verse number 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. Notice this, Moses, what's that word say there, church? Moses, what? Minister, saying, and this isn't the message, but this is a good reminder for all of us, we are not prepared to be great leaders until we have learned to be great servants. God, a mighty leader, Moses, goes off of the scene, and who does God choose to replace him? Moses, minister. That word means servant. Moses' servant, Joshua. Joshua was ready to be a great leader because he had learned to be a great servant. Isn't that what Christ said? The greatest among you shall be your what? your servant. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Go to verse number 2 now. Verse number 2, Moses, he says, God says unto Joshua, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. So for those that, you see, that's a little bit confusing. I don't know what he's talking about here. God is telling Joshua, it's time to go to the promised land. God had chosen a land for his people Israel that he wanted them to inhabit. He actually wanted them to inhabit it decades before. Moses was supposed to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, but you'll recall the lack of faith. That remember the old children's song, 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. And they went through that whole. And so because of the lack of faith of the men there, and then also because of Moses, his lack of temperance, when he lost his temper and he got angry and he smote the rock the second time when he was supposed to speak to the rock, Moses and an entire generation for 40 years wandered in the wilderness. They did not get to inhabit what God wanted them to inhabit. Now that Moses is dead, Moses is gone, and that generation has passed off the scene, God tells Joshua, he says, Joshua, now it's time you're going to go into the promised land. I believe we have a map that shows you the promised land and what the pictures of it were. And this would be a part here. You would see modern day Israel would be near here. And this, as they went in, this is where they're going to go inhabit. This was the land that God had prepared. And you can see the divisions based upon the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 12 different families that made up the nation of Israel. And so that outline there, this is the land that God has kept them from. God had prepared for them, but because of their lack of faith, because of their lack of obedience, there were only 2 that were willing and believed God could lead them there. And by the way, those 2 got to see Canaan. They got to see the promised land. But because of that, Moses and the adult population of Israel did not get to see it until what we just read here. God leads them into this place. They had the generation before them had missed out on God's plan. Verse number 5, this is all introduction, and we'll get where we're going. Verse number 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be. I love this verse. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. God gives Joshua another reminder, another encouragement, another assurance. Just as I was with Moses, I believe there's 2 thoughts here. Just as much as I was with Moses, because you remember when Moses, when God called Moses, how scared he was? God says, Moses, I want you to deliver my people. And Moses gave him excuse after excuse after excuse. You can read it. I think it's, I don't remember right now, so I don't want to say it. Exodus 29, Exodus 12, I'm not sure. But somewhere in Exodus, when God calls Moses, it wouldn't be 29, I guess. Maybe 12, I'm not sure. When God calls Moses, he says, Moses, I want you to go lead my people out. And Moses says, you've got the wrong person. And God said, no, I've got the right person. Moses starts stuttering. He says, God, I can't even talk right. And God said, well, who made your mouth? God's really good at reminding us that all of our excuses and reasons why we can't serve him don't mean anything, because it's really not about our strength, it's about his. It's really not about our power, it's about his. It's not our work, it's his. And he says, who made your mouth? And just read it. I preach a message to teenagers. I've preached several times, not here, but I've preached at camps and conferences about that. What's your excuse? And you can just read it. And there's just excuse after excuse. And God shows him miracle after miracle. He shows him the rod turns into a serpent and it comes back. And his hand gets leprous and it gets healed. And water turns to blood. And he does all these things. And still Moses keeps making excuses. It's an amazing passage. But I believe here when he says, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee, he's telling him the same miracles, the same strength, the same power that Moses received, you'll receive. But I also believe, as he says, as I was with Moses, I love this, I will be with thee, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. What was Moses in the latter years of his life? He was the leader of an aimless, wandering generation because they were faithless. But I love the fact that he said, I didn't forsake Moses even in the midst of his mistakes. I didn't leave the children of Israel even when they doubted me. I believe he's telling Joshua, and I believe it's a great picture that even in the midst of our mistakes, God will not fail us or forsake us. Now, we may have to pay consequences because of our actions, but God will not leave us. Verse number 6, you're following along well. We'll get to our text here in just a moment. God now in verse number 6 is going to repeat, verses 6 through 9 is going to repeat a phrase 3 times. I want you to see it. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be thou, what church? Strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9, would you read it aloud with me, the entire verse? Verse number 9, ready, begin. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I messed you up. We just read here the only time that success is mentioned, and it is the text for our message here. But I want you to see there in verse number 9, why did he say be strong and of a good courage 3 times? Because what had their fathers done? They had been fearful and of no courage. So God's telling Joshua, now it's time. Now you're going to experience what I have for you. We've wasted 40 years, but I'm not done with you. And by the way, it doesn't matter if you've wasted some years. God is not done with you. We've wasted 40 years wandering. I say wasted. It really wasn't a waste. They learned a whole lot about God, and they grew. But they missed out on Canaan, a picture of victorious Christian living. So they didn't waste it all, but they wandered. They wandered aimlessly, kind of, and they weren't able to go exactly where God wanted them to go. But God was preparing, and now he tells them, be strong and of a good courage. And then he tells them in verse number 8, this book of the law. What was the book of the law? It's the first 5 books of the Bible. We call that the law. It's also called the Pentateuch. Those are 5 books that were written by Moses. And he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And he tells them, but here it is. I want you to see it. Upward and outward, finding true success. But what does he say? He says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. What is that? That's upward. Joshua, you're getting ready to go where I want you to go. And if you want to find success, true success, good success, the only time that that word success is found in the King James Bible, if you want to find it, you're going to have to focus upward. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That was God's word for their country. That was what they had at that time, God's word. It was the law, the Pentateuch, the 5 books. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, upward. Why? Why did they need to meditate? And then he says, that thou mayest observe to, what's that verb there? To do according to all that is written therein, outward. By the way, the Bible is not just for our information, meditate therein day and night. It's for our transformation that we may observe to do. We spent about 40 minutes on that last Sunday, so I'm not going to do that. But following him should change some things. God's word should change the way we think, the way we talk, the way we act, the way we interact, the way we treat those that we love, the way that we treat those that hate us, the way that we treat our family, the way that we serve, the way that we give. God's word should change us. Thou shalt meditate therein upward, that thou mayest observe to do outward. And then, that's the word there, then, he says, and then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. When are you going to find true success in your life? When you are focused upward, thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do outward, living for him, then. And we wonder, we find success in the world, and we find some level of achievement, and we get this home, and we get this car, and we get this investment portfolio, and we get this career, and we get this college degree, and we get all of this, and we get the kids, and the dog, and the wife, and the husband, and we get whatever it might be, and we get, and why do we have the midlife crisis? And we get to the end, and we trade in the wife, or we trade in the husband for a newer model, and whatever it might be. Why do those things happen? Very often, because we haven't found good success. We haven't found true success. We haven't found biblical success because our focus is not upward and outward. Our definition of success, our focus is inward. What can I get for myself? What can our family attain for ourselves? What can we do for those things? And he reminds them in verse number 9, he reminds them, don't get inwardly focused and fearful like your fathers. He says, trust me, I've got the best life you could imagine planned. Yes, there are going to be enemies, and yes, there are obstacles, but you have me. I am greater and stronger than your enemies and your obstacles. That's why he tells them 3 times, be strong and of a good courage. Why? What did their fathers do? Their fathers focused on their fears. Their fathers focused on the enemy. God said, I've got this land prepared for you. Just obey me and I'll give it to you. And the fathers said, we can't do it. And by way of introduction, I want a few thoughts by way of introduction. Number one, I want to remind us, inward focus leads to fear. Inward focus leads to fear. When you and I are focused on our needs, on our enemies, on our obstacles, on our what ifs, on our worst case scenarios, it leads to fear in God's plan and doubt in God's power in our lives. Let me say that again. When you and I are focused on us, on the obstacles, on the enemies, on the doubts, it leads to fear in God's plan for us and doubt in his power for us. Isn't that what happened to the 10 spies? God had a plan. They looked at the enemy. They looked at the obstacles. They looked at their own weaknesses. What did they say about themselves? We are as but grasshoppers. Now, that wasn't true. They said, they're so big, we're like grasshoppers. Now, they might have been bigger. I've been a basketball coach. You know, I've coached some teams where I walked in, and we definitely weren't the biggest team on the court. But I've never seen any group of people where one was here, and the other ones were grasshoppers. What happened? They elevated, they magnified something that really wasn't there. And it's amazing what we can convince ourselves when we get our eyes off of him and on our own faults, failures, inadequacies, shortcomings. And when we fear, when the focus is inward, it leads to fear. But when the focus is upward, it leads to faith. When our focus is upward, it always leads to faith. Be strong and very courageous, not because of who you are. Notice that in verse number 9. And I'm getting where I'm going. If you'll stay with me, I think we'll be able to tie all this together. Verse number 9, what did he say? Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid. Now notice why they should be strong, neither be thou dismayed. Now notice, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He didn't say, don't be afraid because you have great training. He didn't say, don't be afraid because you've been taught in the ways of war and you can beat those enemies. He said, don't be afraid. Trust me. Be strong and courageous because I'm with you. Upward focus always leads to faith. Inward focus leads to fear. Upward focus leads to faith. So what has you dismayed and distressed and consumed by fear? You will find true success when your focus moves to upward and outward. And so, again, a long introduction. I really do have a pretty short message today. I'm gonna continue here in the introduction. Follow with me, and then we're going to get to the text, and we're going to wrap it all up. So what happens when you and I seek success on our own? When we seek success in our own strength, our own plans, our own wisdom, what does it lead to? Seeking success in our own strength leads to wandering. It leads to wilderness in our lives. What does that mean? Barrenness, just marking time, no fruit. It leads to unfulfilled promises, and it leads to an empty existence. When you and I seek to define and follow after success in man's eyes, this is what we'll find. We'll find ourselves wandering through life. We'll find ourselves in wilderness experiences where there's no fruitfulness, there's no fulfillment, there's no purpose. That's why 30 million copies of that book will sell. There's many people that don't want to be in the wilderness, but they find themselves in the wilderness. Unfulfilled promises. God promised us something, and we're not tapping into that promise. Why? Because we're focused on our success, not on his, and an empty existence. But what does true success bring? What does biblical good success bring? I want you to see it in this passage. Number one, good success, true success brings God's guidance. Verses number 2 and 3, if you like to take notes, jot those verses next to it. What did he say? Moses is dead, now arise, go over Jordan, all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. What did God say? If you'll focus on me, if you'll upward and outward, if you'll trust me, if you'll be strong and courageous, I will guide you to where you're supposed to be. I will give you the purpose you're supposed to fulfill. I will give you a life that is meaningful. When you doubt me and you live in your own wisdom and you live in your own strength, you're going to wander in a wilderness of empty promises and empty existence and unfulfilled promises. But if you'll follow me, you'll find guidance in my life. You'll find the place and purpose where I have prepared for you to serve. Not only that, you'll find my protection. Notice in verse number 5, the first half of verse number 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. You'll find God's protection. He said, there's nothing that can touch you if you'll follow me where I want you to go. But you have to do it by faith. See, I gave these same promises to your parents, and they doubted me. I told them I was going to win the victories, but they saw the giants and said, we can't do it. It's too big. We can't follow God. It's too hard. It doesn't make sense. We're not strong enough. We're grasshoppers, and they're men of war. And God said, I'm telling you, if you'll follow me, true success is going to lead in your life to God's guidance and to God's protection. But not only that, it's going to lead to God's presence. Notice what he said in verse number 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. God had given the children of Israel a beautiful picture of his presence. The cloud by day, the fire by night. He was always there. And he says, I promise. What is true success? It's being guided by God, protected by God, and it's having God's presence in our lives. And then he said, lastly, I will give you my provision. Verse number 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. He says, I'm going to provide houses and lands. I'm going to give you what you need to fulfill my plan for your lives. But that all comes when you follow my plan for success, not yours. Two very different outcomes in life. The first one, when we seek success, can we throw that slide back up there? Whoever's back there, that one, when we seek success in our own lives, this is where we find ourselves, the wandering, the wilderness, the unfulfilled promises, the empty existence. And let's go back to that final slide when we find true success. Two very different outcomes in this passage. And the Israelites experienced both of them. But it was all about if they found good success. And now here's the message. It's already 10:56. I'll finish it up quickly. How do we find true success? The answer to that is our church theme, upward and outward. So some practical ways from this lesson, from this story, from the children of Israel. Number one, we have to learn to follow him in faith. So basic, so simple, but so hard to do. I said upward and outward, this series is entitled The Simplicity of the Christian Life, but it's not the ease of the Christian life. These things are simple to understand, they're hard to do. That's why an entire generation, after they had seen the 10 plagues, they had crossed over on dry ground, the Red Sea, they had seen manna, they still weren't willing to walk to follow God by faith into Canaan. And if that could happen to them, surely that can happen to us. If we're going to find true success in our lives, true fulfillment, true purpose, we're going to have to learn to follow God by faith. If you're here this morning and you've never entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have no hope of finding good success in your life. You have no hope of finding true fulfillment or true purpose until you come to a place where, like I did 29 years ago, you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior by faith, accepting his gift of salvation, his forgiveness of sins. You will never find success. I don't care how rich you get. I don't care how big your house gets. I don't care how much achievement you have. I don't care about the degrees on your wall. I don't care about any of it. I don't care how many friends you have. You will never find true, lasting fulfillment and success until you have first entered into a faith relationship with Jesus Christ, where you have rejected all works and all other gods, and you have said, by faith, I accept you as my personal Savior. Some of us, we're not finding true success because we've never accepted Christ as Savior. And if that's you here this morning, don't leave this room without making Christ your Savior. Others of us, we've accepted him we've trusted him for our eternity, but we won't trust him with our day-to-day living. We've accepted him as Savior and said, God, you can have my eternity, but I can't give you the control of my life. I'll give you control of after I die, the rest of it, but here, it's too much. I got to keep control of it. And God says, this story tells us we must follow him by faith. What did he say? I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb, the two spies that said, we can do this. I want that mountain. He said, these things have I written unto you that you may know that ye have eternal life. Success does not begin until you begin a relationship with Christ, accepting him as your Savior. Now I want you to notice verse number 8, our text verse. Then what does he say? How do we find? He said, then thou shalt have good success. When? Number one, number two on how we find true success, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Number two, how do we find true success? Talk about his word. What did the psalmist say? His words are continually on my lips. You're not going to talk about something out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says, the mouth speaketh. You're not going to talk about something if you're not thinking about it, if you're not reading it, if you're not hearing it preached, if you're not in church. We're not going to talk about it. But he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Talk about his word. Tell others about his word. Outward focus. How are you going to find fulfillment? There is nothing like the privilege to baptize Mike this morning and to see a person that's getting more serious about their relationship, entering into a relationship with Christ, and then getting serious about that. There's nothing more fulfilling or rewarding than seeing lives changed by the power of the gospel. But that doesn't happen if we don't talk about him. That doesn't happen if his words aren't continually on our lips. That's why do we read his word and why do we memorize his word? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. If we want to find true success, number one, follow him in faith. Number two, talk about his word. Number three, what does he say? It shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. We need to think about his word. We need to think about his word, to ponder, to meditate, to think about it. I don't see him here. I thought I saw him walk in. Maybe he's sitting, not in his normal section, but Scott Van Ness, about a year ago, he encouraged me. I was preaching, and I said something about just from a certain verse, and I was over at his home, and he said, you know, and he was showing me around. He said, this is where I normally, in the morning, I try to read my Bible here, and or sometimes at my office or whatever, but he said, just recently, that message you preached, I've been just going through and rereading that chapter. I've just been meditating on it and looking at it and studying it. And you only hit on one verse, but I saw that and I said, I wrote myself a note. I wanted to do that. What is that? That's somebody that's learning to meditate on God's word, to think about his word, to read his word. All of us, how are we going to find good success? Follow him in faith, not in our own fear. Don't look inward, but look upward. And then talk about his word, think about his word. Number four, immerse yourself in his word. What does he say in verse number 8? This book of the law, follow along if you will, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. What are the next three words? Thou shalt meditate therein when? Day and night. Day and night. We're immersed in his word. What's implied by that? We must be reading it. We must be thinking about it. We must be going to church and hearing it preached. It must be on our minds. We must maybe have a 3x5 card where we're memorizing a verse somewhere. You're not going to meditate on something day and night that you're not immersed in. And he's getting ready to tell us, and then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So all of these are all upward. Follow him in faith. Talk about his word. Talk about his words outward. Think about his word. Immerse yourself in his word. We need in our lives to be immersing ourselves. We spend an hour a week in his word, maybe on a Sunday morning. And I'm thankful if all you do is come here for an hour a week on a Sunday morning. I'm glad that you're here, but we're here for an hour a week, and then we forget all about the things of God and the word of God and the teachings of God, and we're not trying to grow at all, and we wonder why we don't find good success. We wonder why the Christian life, it gets old and cold and hard in our lives. We wonder why it's not there. We're not finding that good success because this book of the law is departing out of our mouths. We're not meditating on it day and night. And why do we do those four things? Notice, he tells us as we finish up, you do those day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Number five, how do you find good success? You live out his word. That thou mayest observe to do, and notice what it says, according to all that is written therein. You and I don't get to pick and choose the parts we like. Can I be honest with you? In my flesh, there are some things in the Bible that I don't like. There are some things in God's word that by nature I don't want to do. I don't like doing. It goes against my nature. I like to serve me. I like to do what makes me happy. And everything in the Bible doesn't always make me happy. But he didn't say I get to pick and choose if I want to find good success. Why am I going to follow him in faith? Why am I going to talk about his word? Why am I going to think about his word? Why am I going to read it and go to church and hear it preached and immerse myself in it day and night? Why? That thou mayest observe to do all according to all that is written therein. What are you doing today in your life that you know is not in accordance with God's word? It might be why you're having a hard time finding true success. Because then he tells us, for then, after you've done these things, after you've followed me in faith, only be thou strong and very courageous. He said it three times, follow me in faith. After you've talked about my word and you've thought about my word and you've read my word and you immerse yourself in my word and then you've lived out my word, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and then thou shalt have good success. Sounds so easy, doesn't it? Get to know God's word, love it, and live it. It sounds so, not easy, it sounds so simple. And again, it's not easy, but it is simple. Get to know God's word, meditate upon it, sing about it, talk about it, memorize it, listen to it preach, study it. What did the Bereans do when they heard something preached in the Bible? They went back and they went to make sure that what the preacher said was right. They went back and studied it. They were in the Bible studying. That's why I encourage you to do your best to get as much church as you can. We ought not be trying to get less church. We should be trying to get as much as we can. We should be trying to get more of God's word. I don't want to see how little I can read it. And there are days where I don't read it like I should. I'm going to be honest. I'm human and I'm weak and I'm frail. And there are days I don't meditate upon it as I should. And there are days I don't live it out as I should. And there are days I don't tell others about it as I should. And those are the days when I get to the end of the day and I'm frustrated and I'm unfulfilled and I've not found good success because I've been focusing on my own inward fears and faults and failures. And I've been focusing on what I think is going to bring me success. But he says, if you'll do these things upward and outward, you'll find true success in your lives. Notice I didn't say anything today. We started off asking, what is it that everybody's striving for? Nobody wants to be a loser. Nobody wants to be a failure. Nobody wants to be a business failure or a relational failure or financial failure. Nobody wants to fail in any area. We want, what do we call it? Success. But notice when I talked about finding true success, I didn't say anything about our bank accounts, about the size of our house, about our material goods, about our investment portfolio. And none of those things in and of themselves are sinful. I'm not saying if you have those things, you have not found good success. God can bless people to make them very wealthy, and they can find good success in their lives as long as they keep this the priority. I didn't say any of those things because let's notice what Christ said about what defines success in our lives. Last verse we'll put on the screen, Luke 12, verse 15. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verse number 15, he said unto them, take heed, beware. Beware of covetousness. Notice this, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. What does he say? Christ is telling them, be careful to get your eyes, don't get your eyes on the wrong thing, because success isn't about what you have. Success is about who you are and who you serve. Again, success is not about what we have. Success is about who we are in Christ and how we serve him. And he tells them, and I would encourage you, I'm not going to take the time. I almost wanted us to turn to Luke 12 and study it this morning, but it would have taken me too long to develop it. That's another message for another time. I'd encourage some of you to go back and read all of Luke 12. It'll convict you. It'll convict our thinking. It'll change us about the way and what we view about success. He gives the parable of the man that had a bunch of stuff, and he was amassing all this stuff for himself, and he had to tear down his barns and build bigger. And he says, I have all this stuff that I have, and he said, this is my focus, and now I'm going to enjoy all the stuff, and God calls him a fool. He says, thou fool, you've been focusing on the wrong things, and he tells him that. And then in verse number 21 of Luke 12, he says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He tells us, consider the ravens and consider the lilies in that passage. Focus on the kingdom of God, and God will take care of your material needs. He says, for where your treasure is in that passage, there will your heart be also. What does he say? Get your eyes on good success, not man's success. If you'll get your eyes on good success, God will let you enjoy some of those things. And God gives some people, because I don't know all the reasons why, they're wise stewards, or they're big givers. God gives different people abilities to get wealth and to make wealth. And that's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as our focus is, God, you've given me this to glorify you. This is not, I'm not finding my identity here. I find my identity in you. And God, it's upward and outward and not all inward in our lives. I would encourage you, read Luke chapter 12 this week. And so now I ask you, are you finding true success in life? If you had to be honest, would you say, kind of like the children of Israel, I've been wandering aimlessly for a little while. I know God's got something better. And I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm not talking about God's got a bigger house or a nicer car for you to drive. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the stuff that really matters. And you'd be honest and say, I've been kind of wandering in the wilderness, spiritually speaking. Maybe you don't know Christ as Savior. If that's the case, accept him today. In a few moments, we'll have an invitation, and there'll be an opportunity for somebody to take the Bible and show you how you can know Christ as Savior. Maybe, like the children of Israel, you are unwilling to trust God with your life, and you've said, I want to keep control of all of this, and so you're wandering in the wilderness. And God says, be strong and very courageous. Step out by faith. Follow me in faith. What's the steps to find true success? Follow me in faith. Make much of God's word and live your faith. Follow me in faith. Make much of God's word in your life. Read it, memorize it, study it, talk about it, share it, hear it taught, hear it preached. Make much of God's word. Follow me in faith. Know me as Savior and give. Say yes, whatever you have, God. Make much of my word and then live what you learn. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. How do we find true success? Upward and outward. It's right there in Joshua 1:8. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night upward, that thou mayest observe to do outward. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. God, I do thank you for your word. And Lord, I know as I read this, I've been convicted. Lord, so often we think of whoever has more than us, they're the wealthy ones. The truth of the matter is, God, every single person in this room, as it relates to the population of the world, we are all extremely blessed and wealthy. God, I pray that we would understand that man defines success in so many unfulfilling and wrong ways, and that we would learn from these 9 verses that we've studied this morning, dear God, that we would put our focus on you and put our focus on knowing you, following you by faith, and making much of your word in our lives, and then living what we learn. And God, letting you add all those extra things to it as we seek first the kingdom of God. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many would say, pastors, you talked about that point on following him in faith. And you said maybe one reason that you're not fulfilled in life is you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. When you said that, there was something inside of me that said, that's me. There's never been a point, a time and place in my life when I put my faith in Christ. Pastor, I don't know him as Savior, but I'd like you to pray with me. There's never been a time and place in my life that I trusted Christ. Pastor, would you pray with me? Would you just slip your hand up? I'd like to see that hand and pray with you. I don't know Christ as Savior. I've never placed my faith in him, following him in faith. When you talked about that, there was something inside of me that pricked my heart. Pastor, pray with me. Just slip your hand up so I can see it and put it right back down. I see a hand there. I appreciate that. Anybody else? I don't know Christ as Savior. There's never been a time. Is there anybody else? How about for the rest of us that you say, I do know Christ. My testimony is I have trusted Christ as Savior, but I look here and I've been defining success in a wrong way. I've been focused inwardly and I see God's word, and with God's help, I'm going to seek that good success. There was something specific as you preached, Pastor, that God spoke to my heart. Maybe it's in my personal Bible study. Maybe it's in my church attendance. Maybe it's in my witness. Maybe it's in my priorities. I've made the things of this world far too important than the things of God. But somewhere God spoke to me specifically about getting back on track with true success and not just man's success. Pastor, pray with me. I'd like to pray with you. God spoke to me specifically. Just slip your hand up, and I'd like to see that, and you can put it back down. God spoke to me specifically in this area of good success. I see many hands, and I appreciate that. God, you've seen these hands, and you know those that Lord, they've never trusted you as personal Savior. I pray that if there be any like that, and the one that's raised their hand and others that maybe didn't, that God, today would be the day of their salvation. May they not leave this room until, Lord, there's been a time and a place where they've placed their faith to follow you as Savior. And God, for those of us, it's such a temptation for all of us to get our eyes focused on the wrong target and on the wrong things and on the wrong success. And I pray, dear God, for all of us, that we would go back to Joshua 1:8 to find good success through a focus that is upward and outward, is my prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, in a moment the piano will play, and as the piano plays, it's an opportunity for you to respond to what you've heard. If you have questions about the Bible or you don't know Christ as Savior, slide out of your seat and come forward. And if you're a lady, we'll have a lady show you from God's Word how you can have your eternity forever changed. If you're a man, we'll have a man show you from God's Word. And if you'd like somebody to pray with you about a special need, slide out, and we'd love to do that. If God has spoken to your heart, you'd just like to come forward and share your heart with God and tell Him, God, I'm going to seek good success. In this area, I'm going to make you the priority. Whatever it might be, now is an opportunity for us to respond. Let's stand together. The piano begins to play. As God has spoken to your heart, let's slide out of your seats and come forward at this time. Others have come. What about you? Is there a special prayer need you'd like somebody to pray with you about? Are you unsure about your eternity? You don't know Christ as Savior? Slide out. See one of our pastors here at the front and let them pray with you. Let us show you from God's Word how you can know Christ as Savior. Have you been letting the flesh and the world define success in your life? Let's get back to God's definition. A life lived upward and outward. Folks have come. There's still time for you if you'd like to slide out and come forward and pray. We'll let the piano play for another stanza or so, and we'd love to pray with anybody that would like to be prayed with, or allow anybody to come forward that would like to pray about a special need in their heart and life. Lord, I thank you for what we've heard this morning. I know that I've been challenged in my own life as I studied this passage. I pray that I would have conveyed the thoughts that you showed me this week from your word. And I pray that we would leave and these things would help us. God, we would make much of Jesus in our lives. We would make more of your word. God, we would make less of our petty problems and difficulties. And maybe they're not petty. Maybe they're major problems and difficulties and fears and obstacles and enemies. But God, like the children of Israel, that we'd be strong and very courageous and be not dismayed, knowing that you're with us. And I pray that we would follow you by faith. And God, we would seek to live your word as we immerse ourselves in it, is my prayer. In Christ's name, amen.